When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 minutes after 2 a.m. here on a fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. Loogie. The Knicks are world champions. They are champions of basketball. Get used to hearing it. Get used to all of it, because we will have you locked here on WFAN all night, all morning, all night after that, days leading up to the parade on Thursday, which will be the biggest party in a city known for its parties, will be the biggest party we have ever seen. I think bare minimum 3 million people show up. I could see it getting to 5 million. Let's dream big. And it's on a Thursday. Nobody works on Friday. That party, the after hours, after the parade, will go on and on and on and on and on and on. And Knicks fan, young and old, Knicks fans, not only the tri-state area, but from around this country and this world, will show up to New York City to celebrate with their fellow Knicks fans, to celebrate this great basketball team, and to celebrate this franchise that we love so dearly. And that's what makes this run and this parade the most special. I think the Knicks are going to do even bigger and better things than this, but for this one, you can never have that one that breaks the 53-year drought again. Hopefully not. Right? We don't want to go another 53 years, that's for sure. This one is extra special because it broke the drought. 53 years in the making. And that's why you're going to just see millions upon millions upon millions of Knicks fans on Thursday. And, yeah, there's going to be bandwagon fans, but that's New York. Show me a team winning in New York. Show me a big event in New York, and you're going to get Johnny-come-latelys. Let's go to Peter in Wayne, New Jersey here on After Hours. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
You know, I love the Knicks for what they represent in terms of everybody banding together, but I actually think the Spurs are better.
But the Spurs didn't win the championship, so that would mean the Knicks are better. And the Knicks are a better team now. They are. They're a deeper team. They're the more experienced team. They're the better team in the clutch when it matters the most. And they won this series in five. So they are the better team. The Knicks are.
Yeah, it's kind of that's a bad argument. And my buddy told me the Kenny Atkinson, where he was like, oh, you're up 3-2.
Yeah, the analytical stuff. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, the Spurs are having their analytical parade today, along with the Cavs.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I got nothing else except I love you. And I got to tell you, I love the positivity.
Well, thank you.
And you were the first guy to get it going.
Yes.
And so I think you deserve your kudos.
I agree with that. I really birthed this run here on this radio station. I really did. And I hate to take credit for it, but I'm about to. I did start this all. And this ride, this journey with this group, with me on this radio station as a host or behind the scenes, it's been quite the ride, quite the journey, and I think we're just getting started. But to culminate last night in terms of the first championship, first one in 53 years, and hopefully the first one of many with this group, let's just dream even bigger. You know, a couple of years ago, you thought, oh, this guy, this positive Tommy guy, he's dreaming too big. A Knicks championship with Jalen Brunson as the one? No way. Well, that ended up happening. Now, we could think about even more championships. But let me do that as I did for the first one. And for all of you out there, along with me, let's enjoy this moment. Let's enjoy this week. Let's enjoy this parade. And let's continue to honor, celebrate, and show our admiration for this group. Let's go to Hirsch in Valley Stream here on After Hours. What's up, Hirsch?
Oh, good morning, PT. How are you, my man?
I'm doing absolutely amazing, Hirsch. Good to hear from you. Hope the same as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, I have to tell you, and I'll get to the Brunson thing in a second, but I didn't get to sleep till around 4:30 last night. And the reason why was because I was afraid to go to sleep and wake up and have it not be real. I just couldn't fathom. I've been rooting for this team since 1979, so I'm certainly a good deal older than you. And it just felt so surreal to me, and it still does. And it's just a beautiful thing, and I'm sure you agree on that.
100%.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about something before that really hit home with me about, you know, Brunson not being fully appreciated. And I'm sure you heard his own father, you know, saying that, that Patrick Ewing was higher on the totem pole, or he said he was the best Nick or whatever.
And I did hear that. I did hear that last night. I'll let you continue, Hirsch. Yeah. That's what I would say about Rick. That's a very difficult spot. First of all, he's inaccurate. But I think he's in a position there where he's like, I can't put my son over, like I'm a little league coach, over a teammate of mine and Patrick Ewing. So I got love for Patrick. He was my teammate. I can't look like I'm the dad that just says his son is the best at everything. So I'm going to say that Patrick Ewing is the better Nick. But the reality is, as great as Patrick was, and it wasn't always his fault, he didn't win a championship. Jalen did. Jalen now is ahead of Patrick in the Pantheon or the Mount Rushmore or the top five or whatever list of Nick greats.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, and no disrespect to Rick at all, but certainly, you know, what Jalen has done, and I didn't watch Clyde, I didn't watch Willis, so I can't comment on that, but what he's done, he came in and he took less money and he took the pressure. He chose to come here where he knew that this was 50 years at the time that the team hadn't won anything, and he put this team on his back, and the pressure of New York to begin with, and add in the fact that he was going to be the guy that nobody thought, you know, and I'll admit it too. I mean, I was like, is he going to be the number one? Can we do it? And I didn't believe it, and most people didn't. And, you know, he willed this team to a championship. He had 45 of 94 points.
Insane. That Cat game five performance was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing is ridiculous. And, you know, I'll be at the parade on Thursday, and I was weeping like a baby with colic last night, honestly. You know, I had a party of 40 people and 39 staring at me like, what's this guy weeping about? But, you know, the truth is, and you'll see this as you get older, like when you watch teams for as long as I have, and, you know, sadly, I'm a Jet fan also, and I don't know if I'll ever see that. But to see what happened last night is just so surreal. And, yeah, man, you picked up your game a lot, and I haven't always been easy on you. And I don't know, man. I really enjoyed your show tonight, and I'll keep on listening and keep up the good work, brother.
Well, I appreciate that, Hirsch. Yeah, in many ways, I'm like Jalen Brunson. You know, people look at me and they go, is he a one? Is he a superstar? I don't know about that. A little undersized? Well, at least the internet thinks I'm short. The internet calls me short all the time. I'm like, and my wife does too. I'm not that short. I'm really not. I'm not 6'4". But if you compare me to, now, obviously I'm not a Boomer's height or Craig's height, but those are two very tall gentlemen. But you stand me next to Tiki and Sean and Giannotti and McLogical. I'm just as tall as those guys. But the internet thinks I'm 5'4". And really, when you look at me and I guess Tiki, you know, despite Al thinking I have man boobs, I don't know about that. I think I'm in pretty damn good shape.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
for real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
But I'm not as tall as, obviously, a Boomer or even Craig. Craig, deceptively tall. He stands next to Boomer. He's almost as tall as him. I remember, and we'll get back to your calls here in one second. I'm just on a little bit of a tangent. Joe and Evan filled in for Boomer and Carton back in the day, and I was working behind the scenes because I think I was still working on the show. That's why, obviously, I was working behind the scenes. But Al was off. Eddie was off. And I remember TV down the line where, because they're used to seeing Craig and Boomer in these chairs, and Joe and Evan were both short, and Evan practically sits on the ground. They're like, can those guys sit a little higher? I'm like, they could sit on the roof. It's not going to matter. You're used to working with 6'4" guys in here, and now these guys are 5'8" if they're lucky. Not everybody's Craig and Boomer. They're tall dudes. It was dying. I forgot if I directly had the contact and I said that, or maybe Scholes was, Eddie was, said it. Maybe Fleeks was with us. You remember that?
I do. I was with you, and because I was on the board, you were producing, that was like, listen, you got to be the one that goes in there and tells Joe and Evan, especially Evan, because Joe didn't care. Evan wanted to be on the ground, and you had to tell him, you're on TV, you got to lift your chair up.
Yeah, and the other stuff with Evan, too, he bounces around too much, he moves around too much. I had to deal with that with SNY. I was like, dude, Evan is the way he is. That's it. Joe is the way he is. I'm not going to walk in there and tell them, can you guys grow a little bit taller? Can you sit a little bit higher in your chair? They're going to tell me to go scratch. And I love those guys. They're super nice, but I understand. I was like, you're used to working with guys that are 6'5" and an NFL MVP, and now Joe and Evan come walking in and they're 5'6". 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. Let's go to Joe in Rockland on the fan. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up?
I just want to say congrats to all the Knicks fans out there.
Thanks.
Congrats to you for your call. I mean, phenomenal call. We all sat here and knew that the man, the myth, the legend was going to come through for us with that call. But I have one question for you. I knew when it happened I was going to be asking you about it. Just hypothetically speaking, if Kat is not in foul trouble in that last minute, are you keeping him in for that rebound, or are you leaving Mitch in just for for that moment? What if Kat is available, are we leaving Mitch in?
I think if Kat is available, my gut instinct is they're leaving him in. Now, he's capable of getting that rebound.
He didn't score.
Yeah. No, listen, you know what happened with Kat in these last couple games? He got in foul trouble. He got out of rhythm. He wasn't able to reconnect back into what was going on, but he was so great in those first couple of games, and he's obviously the second best player on the team, or third best player if you want to put Ananobi ahead of him. I would have had him on the court, and I just think he would have been on the court. Now, the way this year went, Joe, and the way this run went, it was always the right, every button that was pushed, every decision that was made ended up being the right one. And even in this situation, it was more about foul trouble and a guy not being connected on the court. But it ended up working in the Knicks' favor because Mitchell Robinson secured a massive rebound. You know, the Knicks didn't even execute that greatly in game five down the stretch, but they were able to have enough moments more than the Spurs did, and that was ultimately why they won.
Yeah, I think that's it. I appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you.
No, I got it. And that's what you love about New York City. Even after a championship, we're still debating the X's and O's. Would you have had him out there? Would you have not had him out there? And I understand. I got it by the idea that he was congratulating Knicks fans. I don't think he's an actual Knicks fan himself. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Maybe he was just congratulating all of us. But yeah, we're always talking X's and O's here. But it was a huge rebound, and the Knicks got so many contributions from every single player. Like, you could look at everybody on that team that got minutes, legit minutes. They had at least one moment and one game and one performance that we're going to remember. I think about Alvarado and Clarkson in that first round when Mikal wasn't playing well early on, how great they were. Shamit, game three against the Sixers. Deuce McBride, who was, we'll talk about how great everybody was. Deuce was awful, especially in the finals. He was hideous. But he had that great game in game four against the Sixers, the closeout game. Jose Alvarado in game four of the finals was unreal. Had that big shot that cut it to four late in the game. If he misses that shot, who knows what ends up happening. The Knicks could certainly have lost the game. That's for sure.
And we know about the star guys. I mean, the guys that are the starters. But I'm talking about really, for a man, Mitch, the big rebound there. Everybody contributed, and that's what it takes to win a championship. You need contributions from everybody. And the Knicks' depth, certainly something that we as Knicks fans have screamed about for years. Play the bench, play the bench, play the bench. Begged for Tibbs to play the bench. And I said it throughout this year, and I said it last year, and over again. It's ingrained in my brain. I know I've said it on the radio. And that is the reason you play your bench throughout the year. Because I understand, Tibbs, hey, this starting five is awesome. I'm just going to ride with these guys because they're going to get me across the finish line, and then we'll take our chances in the playoffs. But the reason you play your bench throughout the year is, oh, Shamet had his moments throughout this run. He missed one three-pointer in the Eastern Conference Finals and was integral to that comeback in Game 1, 22 points down to the Cavs. You play your bench throughout the year so that in the playoffs, when you need these guys, they are not coming in cold. You're not dusting the mothballs off them. They have the continuity, the chemistry, and the confidence to take and make big shots. It's not Landry Shamet and DeLon Wright, oh boy, we need to bring these guys out there because we're screwed in the Eastern Conference Finals, and let's hope for the best. It's, hey, even though we fell out of the rotation at times, let's go to Alvarado here, and he stepped up in big moments. Let's go to Shamet here. He stepped up in big moments in the playoffs. And that is so vital to a championship run. And that's why you play the bench throughout the year. And think about this. The Knicks were unbelievable. Not just Brunson. The team was unbelievable late in games, execution, fourth quarter. And this had to do with also the rest that they had in the playoffs, for sure. But they were on another level in the fourth quarter. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they had more gas in their tank going into the playoffs because they didn't play as many minutes, because they played the bench, because they had the depth. So you had a well-rusted team going into the playoffs, all things considered. They got even more rest based on their play because they were rested. And that equaled more rest. And all of that rest ultimately gave them that extra gear in these fourth quarters against San Antonio, where the series was won. It was literally like watching a movie. Spurs go up double digits every single game. Every single game they were up double digits. Most memorably, up 27 at the half in Game 4, up 29 in the second half, the high water mark. But at least from my end, I thought the Knicks were going to come back every single time. Because the Spurs set the pace, and then at the end, they ran out of gas, they couldn't execute, and the Knicks, especially Brunson, got stronger and stronger and stronger. And even when Brunson didn't 100% execute at the end of the game. You know, game two, missed a shot, missed a free throw. You know, the Spurs screwed things up and Brunson's teammates were able to pick him up. Even when Brunson missed the three in game four, OG Anunoby with an iconic tip in, an iconic pick me up. This is where the team aspect comes into play. And they could beat you, the Knicks can, in multiple different ways, not just with Brunson. He obviously got his moment, he got his MVP, and he scored half their points in Game 5, which is just stupid in a good way. But when Brunson didn't have it, and there were a lot of times in this series he didn't, his teammates were able to pick him up. Cat in the first two games, OG in the next couple of games, and then in Game 5, Jalen Brunson put the cape on, put the team on his back, dropped 45, won the MVP, and solidified himself as a legend in New York. Think about that. Prime of his career, Jalen Brunson is already a legend because 53 years, because it's the team that unifies all of us, and because of his heroics in the fourth quarter. Christopher is in Jackson Heights here on After Hours. What's up, Chris?
Tommy, I call that team unity.
Yes.
What you're talking about, yep. You know, that union and everything like that. And it's important. Now, I want to kind of give you a perspective on my end.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in the 90s and stuff like that, I was huge into basketball. But I rooted for the team called the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, yeah. But Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, Alonzo Mourning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But still, I was born and raised in New York. So I know how the struggle, how it was with the Knicks towards Miami, the Pacers, and especially with the Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
So I know the struggle. And my experience actually from game one in the finals, I actually work across the street from MSG. So I saw the ruckus. I saw the experience and the excitement, and I was just blown away. I was like, oh, this is how New York is supposed to be. So it was a wonderful feeling. Now, towards Brunson, in the last couple of seasons, I slowly got into basketball again. And looking at Brunson, I was impressed. Day in, day out, how he was and how people spoke about him. That's the type of leader you want. That's the type of player that if I was playing, I would want him to lead. I'd be like, here's a rock. You do you, I'll follow kind of thing, you know? That's the type of person that he's established himself and has shown New York.
Yep.
That's why he gets that love. You know, that Captain, Captain Clutch?
Captain Clutch, yep.
Yeah, man, I see it. You know, I've seen some of the highlights, and I'm like, damn, okay. I'm riding with that, and I love it. That's why I love the atmosphere with New York right now. Not some of the violence that's going on, but
of course.
The showing appreciation.
Yeah. The overwhelming majority of people, look, there's some people that are obviously, and who knows if they're even Knicks fans, that have gone way too far, but the overwhelming majority of Knicks fans who have celebrated with class and are not breaking any kind of laws or anything of that nature,
yeah.
They have been amazing, and you're right. This city in a lot of ways, Chris, like think about it. This city went through a lot in 2020. They went through a lot in 2021. They haven't had a championship in a while. This Knicks team has given this great city a jolt that they have needed, and they've been needed for a minute here. The city is alive once again, and they're alive for a sporting event or in a sporting team and a team that they love, and that's awesome to see.
It's like a boost, and I'll put it in this way. This might be totally random. It's kind of like when the movie Ghostbusters, towards the end when they finish off everything and then
yeah.
The people are cheering and stuff like that.
Yep.
Just replace the Ghostbusters with the current roster of the New York Knicks.
Love it.
Where the crowd comes in, they're like, you can't. Yep. We love you kind of thing. And that's what New York needs, especially in the sports, because I'm a diehard Mets fan. And I was honestly thinking, I was like, Knicks, look, I want you to win, but can we push it to game seven so at least I have something to root for?
Yeah.
Now I have nothing to root for.
Well, no, we have our baseball team. Don't give up on the Mets just yet. And that scene in Ghostbusters, that's going to be Thursday. That's going to be because we as fans, and we have to wait here, which I think is awesome because it allows people to get into the city. It allows us to continue to celebrate them. It prolongs the final sort of celebration for now, and that is the parade. But that is going to be the first time we as fans are going to get to see these players and the outpouring of love that you're going to get from, I mean, you heard it from Joe earlier today as he was emotional. I got calls all throughout the overnight last night. You know, I was on when the game ended. I was on for a few hours after that. And several Knicks fans called me up and they were crying and they were just at a loss for words because the emotion was running so high because sports is about more than just sports. Because people that don't love sports or don't even like sports, and we have those people in our lives, we call them our wives. I'm just kidding. But, well, for my wife at least. She actually knew the Knicks won last night. Usually, it's, did the Knicks win? Last night, she knew. But you know how she knew? Not because she's watching the game, not because she's listening to her husband on the radio or watching him on YouTube. She knew the Knicks won because, oh, I heard fireworks. So I figured the Knicks won. That's where she's at. But she's not alone. You know, I'm singling her out because she's my wife and I can, but my wife is not alone in that. There are plenty of people that don't get sports, don't like sports, and don't understand the relationship we as sports fans have with sports. But what I would tell them is it's not just about sports. It's not just about the game. In fact, the game actually isn't even the biggest thing. What we love about sports is We started watching it with our father, or our mother, or our grandfather, or our uncle, or our brothers and sisters. It's family. That's what sports is. It's what we do with our family, with our friends, who are in many ways family members, especially close friends. And we, at a young age, with our family, sit down and watch sports. And it's something that we do. It's a bonding moment. You could play sports with your family. It brings us together as a family. And that's what it boils down to. And that's why you get a lot of emotion out of this, because those that are no longer with us, that we wish were still with us to enjoy this championship, those that said, hey, you should have been there when the Knicks were at the top of the mountain of the NBA, when they were winning championships. I know it's bad now, but even the 90s Knicks fans would tell a younger Knicks fan, hey, in the 90s, they were at least good. They at least made the finals. But that's why people get emotional. Because of family. Because of what sports means to their families. And if you're not a sports fan, you'll never understand that. And that's okay. As long as you're accepting of it, which I think is important. Hey, I may not love sports. I'm saying this as if you're a wife or whatever. But I appreciate that you appreciate it. I'll never feel the passion for it like you do. But I understand it. And I think the emotion is going to be... It's going to... I think the tears and all that stuff will go away for a little bit. And then Thursday night, that's when it's just going to come just roaring out. Because you're going to be at a parade down the Canyon of Heroes. And it's not, and this is not against them, but they've just gone down it as many times as anybody else. It's not the Yankees going down the Canyon of Heroes. It's not the Giants going down the Canyon of Heroes. It's the Knicks. A sight that, you know, Joe talked about it. He didn't think he'd see. That's why he was getting all emotional. I'm sure people around Joe's age felt the same exact way. Hey, I might leave this earth and not see one. You're going to get to see one. And generations of Knicks fans are going to see one on Thursday. Ed is in the Bronx. What's up, Ed, here on After Hours? What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on, Tommy Lugow? Hey, listen, bro, man. I've been a Knicks fan for about 50 years. I'm 59 years old, and I've been a Knicks fan before the Patrick Ewing era. So I've seen the good, the bad, the indifferent.
Yeah.
But this championship, what you just were saying about that guy, Joe, I felt that way. I would never see a chip before I leave this earth. I just made 59 May 13th, so I know. This right here, I'm going to that championship. Even though I got to work later on that night, because I'm working now,
same.
I'm going. Like,
yeah.
I can't see it any other way. This, like, I love that the Patrick Ewing, the 90s era, you know, the physicality, all of that. The great guards that we had, you know, all the ups and downs with the Knicks. But this right here is the best Knicks team I've seen ever in my life for covering them for 50 years. These guys love playing with each other. They love playing for each other. And when you have that, you can't, it's no other way but to win. Like, you know, you could play with people, but if you don't like playing with them or you don't like a teammate, then it's not going to work.
Yep.
These guys genuinely love each other. And I'm not just talking about the Villanova 3. I'm talking about the entire team. This
yep.
is outstanding, yo. This is the greatest. You know, this is the greatest. This is the greatest thing. I can't even keep talking because I'm still in shock, man. You know, this is just a great thing. And I'm glad you called it from the very beginning. You said in 5, and I kept saying, maybe we can get a sweep because this is the way it looked like it was going.
Yeah.
But you know what? This team is too resilient. I've never seen nothing like that. You come back from 29 down and still win this game?
Crazy.
If this was the old Knicks, you know we would have gave up and crashed out the building.
Yeah, we would have blown the 29-point lead. That's what they would have done. But
yeah,
you said it perfectly. This is the best Knicks team that I've ever seen. The resiliency, the camaraderie, the chemistry, the love that they have for each other. Not just the Villanova guys, but everybody. You could see it on full display once they won the championship. And that's what makes great teams. That's what makes great dynasty teams. That's what the Knicks, I think, are on the verge of, man. I really do. I think they got it all together now, and this is a very special group.
I believe it, too. Yeah. You have a good night, and thank you for taking the call, man.
Yeah, you too, Eddie. Hopefully I run into you at the parade, which is going to be tough to, I mean, I don't, because I know people are calling me up, and, hey, I want to see you at the parade. I don't know what to tell you on that one, because it's going to be, if we have sort of a central location as a radio station, then it'll be easier to find me. But if it's just a needle in a haystack, then if it's serendipity, if it's fate, then cool. But otherwise, it's going to be very difficult, because it's going to be millions of people. But if you have an opportunity to go, go. Go. Because as a Knicks fan, all I've ever seen is parades. And I didn't go to the Giant ones. One I was in college, didn't make it back for. And the other one, I know I was working here that day. For some reason, I didn't go. And that I certainly regret that. But this one I'll be at. And I certainly won't be alone. That's for sure. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call here on After Hours. It is Loogie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to David in Ronkonkoma. He joins us now. What's up, David? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was perfect timing. You know, David, he wanted to talk about the run that the Knicks had. And I assume he was coming from a good place, but if he was coming from a bad place, we were going to have a little bit of a moment there. Because the last thing I want to hear is the Knicks had an easy run. Let's make this as crystal clear as I possibly can. The Knicks would have smoked the Celtics. The Celtics would have begged for mercy by the end. The Knicks would have humiliated the Pistons. And if the Thunder got by the Spurs, they would have suffered the same fate that San Antonio did. No team in the league this year was stopping the Knicks. It was just a matter of how many games the series was going to go. Whether or not they were going to make quick work of you, or they had to roll their sleeves up a little bit and beat you in six. But no matter who was put in front of them, this team, because of grit, because of determination, because of chemistry, because of continuity, because of, and it was forged through playoff failures, series losses, heartbreaking ones, gut-wrenching ones. This team, led by their captain and his mentality, they were as strong a unit as you're ever going to see. And nothing was stopping them. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours, Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan. If you're on hold, we will certainly get to you. If you want to join the conversation, I just gave you the number. So feel free to hop on. We got you for another, let's do it real quick, 3:34. 2.5 hours here on The Fan till Al and Jerry come your way on the warm-up show. As I clear my throat here. For the first time in 50, I figured you knew that anyway, but you know what? I'm supposed to talk, so I tell you what's going on. For the first time in 53 years, the New York Knicks are NBA champions. To celebrate this historic victory, BigTimeBats.com proudly presents the official Knicks NBA championship basketball. This full-size, pure feel composite leather Wilson NBA basketball features embossed championship script, the official NBA Finals logo, and the Knicks Championship 2026 championship logo. It sells for $124.95, plus shipping and handling. Own a piece of Knicks history before it's gone. Visit BigTimeBats.com and order your official 2026 NBA Champions Gold Edition basketball today.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
239 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer. Lukey. The Knicks are NBA champions. Get used to hearing it as we are a little over 24 hours since it became official. A night, a moment that none of us as Knicks fans will ever forget. 53 years of waiting for some, a lifetime for others. It all culminated, and you have heard the emotion, you've seen the excitement, and you are going to continue to see that outpouring of affection, emotion, reflection, all the things that go into being a sports fan for this moment. And it's going to continue on this radio station over the next couple of days as we lead up to the parade, which I expect to be the biggest parade in the history of New York. Certainly in the, when you think about 3 million, 4 million, 5 million people, I think it could get that kind of attendance and that type of outpouring of Knicks fans' appreciation, both here in the tri-state area and those that are going to travel in from other states or from around the world, because Knicks fans are everywhere and Knicks fans have been waiting a very, very, very long time for this moment. And they've gotten it, and they're going to continue to celebrate it and to continue to party, and it will culminate in the biggest party in a party city, the biggest party that this city has ever seen. And that is a Knick championship parade down the Canyon of Heroes. And that will take place Thursday morning. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Bill is in Hoboken. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Tommy, how are you? I just walked in the door coming back from San Antonio. We just flew in like half hour ago. And I want to tell you, the vibe there with Knicks fans was nothing I've never seen. I've gone to Giant playoff games. I've gone to Minnesota Giants. I've gone to Eagles Giants. I've gone to Green Bay Giants, two Super Bowls. The turnout of Giant fans there was unbelievable. I don't know what they were saying it was, but I mean, if that holds 18,000 or something, I'd say it was half full.
Yeah, Knicks fans. Yeah, yeah.
At least half.
You could hear it on television. It was, if you just closed your eyes and listened, you couldn't tell who the home team was because there was just as much cheers for when the Spurs did something as when the Knicks did something. And Knicks fans like you, Bill, you showed out. And whether it was in Atlanta, whether it was in Philly, whether it was in Cleveland, whether it was in San Antonio, these franchises did everything in their power to keep the Knicks fans out. Well, the Knicks fans were not going to be denied. This is what 53 years or a lifetime will do to you of waiting. And this is not a situation where Knicks fans weren't going to be in the building for this type of magical run. So just take me through it. Who are you there with? Give me the emotions of being in the building to watch the Knicks win a championship.
My dad took me my first game in 73, so I've been a Knicks fan as long as since the last time they won it. And we watched the game with OG with the miracle tip-in. And Friday morning, my wife's like, hey, let's go. We got to see this. This is once in a lifetime. We got to get there. So she booked a flight Friday morning. We got our tickets on the way there to the game.
What a wife, by the way.
And the best, 30 to 32 years. But and everything, so inexpensive compared to what the prices they were asking for the Garden. You know, we got everything, the airfare, take two tickets to the game, more for all that for less than one ticket to the Garden for game six would have been.
Yeah, and Bill, I kept saying that to the audience because I understand the ticket prices are insane at Madison Square Garden, and if you are fortunate enough to afford those tickets, then great, or you just whatever, you future problems and you put on the credit card or whatever the deal is. But I kept saying you could go to San Antonio, tickets, airfare, steak dinner, hotel, partying, celebrating after the whole nine, and it's less money than going to Madison Square Garden. So if you have an opportunity and you have a great wife like that, or you can get away for a couple of days, go do it.
Exactly. Here's the crazy thing, Bill. After the game, we go back to downtown San Antonio to our hotel. they're parading through the streets with San Antonio flags, going crazy, the people there. I'm like, what is this all about? And locals are like, they parade win or lose every single game during the season. I'm like, it was so nuts. You know, we're like, don't they realize they just lost? You know, and no, they're nutty people down there.
Yeah, that's an interesting insane way. Look, they're great fans. It's obviously been a franchise that's had a ton of success, and I think that certainly helps when you've had that type of success, that you could take a loss a little bit easier than you can a win, but I'll give them credit for that consistency. What was the Knicks fan contingent like when you either got to the hotel or the streets? Was there party in the streets from the Knicks fans as well, from your travels from the arena, you know, outside the arena, and then till the hotel?
Not before the game, everyone was up and down the Riverwalk, you know, all throughout the hotels, on the Riverwalk and the restaurants and everything. After the game, it was such a mess trying to get out of there by Uber to get back to the downtown. I think by the time people did get downtown, they all just went to bed. I didn't see anybody. Everything was closed, too, by the time we got back.
That's the other thing, too. You realize that quickly. I mean,
New York.
Yeah, nothing is. Oh, there's a few action cities, but most cities are not like New York, where you could be out at 4 a.m., get a slice of pizza, or buy a car, essentially, and it's like it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You go to San Antonio, and it's midnight, and the city goes to bed.
Yep.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to ask
you if you were going to the parade. That was going to kind of be the way that I ended it. But if you still have more to share, then I'd love to hear it.
Well, everybody, as soon as OG got that last rebound and threw the ball up in the air on Wemby's miss, all Knicks fans flooded down to close as they can to the court. And it was just like everyone had tears in their eyes. The San Antonio fans were really gracious, too. They were congratulating. They knew it was 53 years for a lot of people. You know, so they were very gracious fans. Nice fan base.
I'm not surprised by that. Like I said, I'm not, because there isn't really, even though they beat us in 99, there isn't a real rivalry amongst the cities or the franchises. And they've won enough. Mm-hmm. And they got a young team there that I think they're very hopeful can get them a championship or championships. And like you said, when a team goes 53 years, whether it was the Cubs or the Red Sox or even where the Mets are at right now, or the Jets or the Guardians or where the Knicks were, when you have this type of drought, you even if it's against your team, you start to pull for them in a way, especially once it's over, and you say, you know what, good for you. You waited long enough. No fan base should suffer for 53 freaking years. No fan base should ever have to wait that long for a championship.
No, definitely. So we are doing the parade. My wife's office is 25 Broadway, so she's having a big party at her office.
Beautiful.
We'll be right there at the start of the parade. We'll be hanging out the window. She's got her people shredding paper for her already, so we're all set. So
amazing.
It's going to be exciting.
Yep, I take that as an invite, Bill. I'll see you out there. I had to explain to my wife at the dinner table today what a ticker tape parade is. I mean, we're not dealing with somebody that really is fully up to speed with the reality of the world. I don't know, you know, she's just out there in Tinseltown, La La Land, really a San Diego girl at heart, but she lived in LA as well. She's got no clue of anything that goes on this planet, really. It's amazing to me. It's hi, I'm Tom. I just feel like every day I have to explain to her what goes on this planet. She had no idea what a ticker tape parade was. She had no idea the importance of it. She had no idea what anybody does at the parade. And I'm like, have you watched? Hi, this is Earth. Have we met? I don't think so. Do you watch television? Do you know what's going on? Bill's wife is booking him a flight and going with him to San Antonio. And she's got the hookup for the ticker tape parade. But yeah, if you were among the Knicks fans that were in San Antonio last night on Saturday night, I was not there, and I've not been, obviously, there on a road game for anything like a championship or even getting to a championship, but I was there in Philly when they clinched. We were there, Evan, Tiki, and all of us, and I could just tell you what I was feeling that night, and that wasn't for the championship, far from it, but the feeling that you have to be amongst your fellow Knicks fans in this case on the road, and that just euphoric peacocking moment and feeling that you have from the tip of your toes to the top of your head, it is indescribable. I can't describe it to you other than if I bottled it up and was able to sell it, I would be a billionaire. I wouldn't have to host a radio show anymore. I could just go be on a yacht surrounded by models. That's where I would be. That's how amazing the feeling is. And for those that made the trek, for those that, and yeah, flight, tickets, steak dinner, little pre-gaming before, if you were able to find a bar that's open in San Antonio past midnight, the celebrating, maybe bought a little swag if you can find some, a little memorabilia, whatever the case may be. All of that together, combined, that price would be cheaper than the tickets for Game 6 back at the Garden. And I kept saying that over and over and over and over again. So if I helped anybody go to one of those games, then that makes me very happy, because you want to experience something like this. You know, if you're younger, you know, when I was younger growing up in the 90s, I thought this was going to be my basketball life. The Knicks are good every year. They're always on prime time. They're always the marquee game. Hey, they didn't win a championship, but they made the finals a couple times. They're going to get back. They're going to get back quickly because that's what they do. They win. So, yeah, we'll get them the next time. Boy, did I learn a long, hard lesson in sports reality. And that is, you can go from being this close to winning a championship. And I'm doing that thing where your thumb and pointer finger is a little bit of space between it. This close. You could go from that to sports hell just like that. And the feeling of, oh my God, we're never going to get out of this. Oh boy, we're never going to get out of this. Oh boy, this is our fate as Knicks fans or sports fans in this whatever team you root for. It was a long, hard, tough lesson, but I think that it made us stronger as fans. It made this moment even more special. It made it even more enjoyable. And if you were amongst those in San Antonio, you now have, for money, money grows back. Now, if you work in this industry, it doesn't grow back as quickly as others, but it does grow back at some point. That experience that you had in Game 5, that's something that you can't put a price tag on. That is something that you will take for you the rest of your life. You'll tell your kids, your grandkids, anybody walking the street, you will tell them about the night that you were in San Antonio when the Knicks won their first championship in 53 freaking years. That's the experience that you got. If you could bottle it up and sell it, you'd be a billionaire. Only a select amount of people walking this earth right now can say, I was in the building the night the Knicks won a championship for the first time in 53 years. Think about that. Bill is one of them. I know Sal Licata was out there as well. He's another one. And they are of a select group of people that can say that. And that is, as a sports fan, that's something that you hang on the wall, that you get framed, and you tell everybody about the minute they walk into your house from now until you are no longer on this earth. That's a special thing. And I love to hear stories like that. And if you're out there and you were at the game and you're like, Bill, hit me up, and I expect to see all of you at the parade. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Steven is in Fairfield here on The Fan. What's up, Steven?
Hey, Tommy. I just wanted to take a moment to give Mike Brown his flowers. Yes. Because, you know, he got this job, and when that hire was made, people were pretty skeptical about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, firing Tibbs and moving on. And then everything that happened with Cat midseason. So, I mean, this postseason, he coached circles around everyone. And he really helped this team get over the hump. And I just want to make sure people recognize that it was the right move and he was the right guy for the job. So just want to give him his moment.
Yeah, Steve. And I think that, you know, Mike Brown was not the Knicks' first choice. I think that has been well documented. I think we all know who was. I think we all know who they wanted to coach this team. By the way, that guy's available now. But Mike Brown might not have been the first choice for the Knicks. And of course, they did their due diligence trying to find a coach that already had a gig, which was the right thing to do, by the way. They were mocked for that. They were made fun of for that. It was LOL Knicks. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have a plan. BS, by the way. That was total BS. They were doing their due diligence like any other franchise would do. That was the plan. Hey, let's ask around. Maybe Eric Spoelstra is available. Who knows? Maybe Pat Riley's like, look, I left you guys hanging. I owe you one. You could have Coach Spo. You never know if the prom queen's going to go out with you unless you ask. Now, her quarterback boyfriend's probably going to kick the bleep out of you once he finds out. But you know what? You take a beating. It is what it is. Maybe she says, yeah, I'd love to date the science major or future science major or future radio producer. Forget the football player. You're going to be a radio producer? I'll go out with you. Highly unlikely, but you never know unless you ask. And Mike Brown might not have been the first choice, but he was the right choice. This Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Mike Brown may have not been the first choice, but he was the right choice. He was the perfect choice for this team. This team played for Mike Brown. This team never gave up for Mike Brown. They played hard for Mike Brown. They played to the final buzzer for Mike Brown. And Mike Brown, and all the reasons I've laid out a ton of times, I'll lay them out again here quickly. The reason he was hired, this is a guy that won't be a dictator. He won't be stubborn. He will listen to upper management, ownership, his staff. And that's exactly what he did. He will play the bench. He will limit the minutes of the starters. He will develop younger players. He will unlock Cat. He will unlock Bridges. He will open up this offense. And he did everything that he was asked to do when he was hired and everything he did to be brought in when he was brought in. That's what Mike Brown did. And he deserves a ton of flowers. You know who Mike Brown is? Joe Torre. So he is a guy that didn't have a ton of success or the ultimate success. And a lot of people are like, Joe Torre? They said the same thing about Mike Brown. And unfortunately for Tibbs, that makes him Buck Showalter. But that's the way it goes. Tibbs is Buck Showalter. Mike Brown is Joe Torre. And hopefully Mike Brown wins as many championships as Joe Torre did. Boy, would that be nice. Let's put that in the atmosphere. 888-808, I guess I just did. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Got you for another 2 hours before Al and Jerry come your way on the warm-up show. We'll continue to celebrate. We'll continue to party. We'll continue to send the Knicks our flowers and our thanks and appreciation with your calls. The phone number to join that conversation is 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.